This is episode 684 of the AWS podcast, released on September 9th, 2024.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AWS podcast. So I'm Lish here with you. Great to have you back. And I'm joined by one of my co-hosts, Gillian Ford. G'day, Gillian. How are you doing?
Fantastic. It's September, and that means that we're almost near reInvent, which is crazy.
I can't believe that. I know, which also means pre-invent will come as well, which means that we'll be very busy. We will be covering reInvent as we normally do, and we'll probably try and do a preparation for reInvent show as well at some stage.
Totally.
Should be fun. But let's get into the updates today. So let's start with analytics. And Amazon Redshift Serverless now supports AWS Private Link, so you can now connect directly to the Amazon Redshift Serverless and Redshift Serverless API services using AWS Private Link in your virtual private cloud instead of connecting over the internet. Amazon EMR Managed Scaling is now Application Master Placement Aware, so now it understands where it's putting stuff in an intelligent way. And so as part of this launch with EMR Release 7.2 and later, Amazon EMR will let you specify application-level YARN node labels, expressions by market type, so you can specify on-demand versus spot. Previously, you could only choose between core and task. Amazon OpenSearch Service now supports Graviton 3, and I highly recommend that if you can switch to Graviton, you do, because, for example, in this case, you can get up to 25% better performance over the Graviton 2 instances. Typically, you find it costs less and it runs better. And Amazon QuickSight now supports sharing views of embedded dashboards. A couple of quick updates in the world of application integration. We're really happy to announce a validation API for AWS Step Function workflows. The validation API enables you to perform semantic checks of your workflows as you author them, helping you find syntactic errors sooner, which shortens your development cycles. AWS Step Functions is a visual workflow service capable of orchestrating virtually any AWS service to automate business processes and data processing workloads. With the validation API, you can perform semantic checks on your workflows before you run or deploy them to catch issues sooner. It's called testing more to the left than the right in the old way of saying things. Simply validate a workflow by creating, updating, or directly calling the validate state machine definition API. And you can now catch the common syntactical errors in workflows like the missing dollar on a field that uses a JSON path or intrinsic function. We've also included suggestions for field names that are incorrect but have a close match. So I've never mistyped anything, but if you do, you can get the right thing. Also, simple things like the correct alphabetical case for a service name when a mismatch is detected. So it just makes it easier to get it right. And Amazon EventBridge Scheduler now provides higher default service quotas. So the default service quota for the number of schedules is now 10 million schedules instead of 1 million schedules in all regions. And the invocation throughput quota is now 1,000 invocations instead of 500 in most regions.
Now we're on to artificial intelligence. Amazon Bedrock now supports cross-region inference. This is an optional feature that enables developers to seamlessly manage traffic bursts by utilizing compute across different AWS regions. By using cross-region inference, Bedrock customers using on-demand mode will be able to get higher throughput limits, up to 2x their allocated in-region quotas, if you're asking, and enhanced resilience during periods of peak demand. By opting in, developers no longer have to spend time and effort predicting demand fluctuations. Instead, cross-region inference dynamically routes traffic across multiple regions, ensuring optimal availability for each request and smoother performance during high usage periods. I can see this being really valuable for customers that have to comply with data sovereignty laws, and if you have low latency requirements to serve customers in different parts of the world. This capability prioritizes the connected Bedrock API source region when possible, so it helps you minimize latency and improve responsiveness. Amazon Bedrock Knowledge Bases now supports Llama 3.1, 405B, 70B, and 8B. Amazon Bedrock offers select foundation models for batch inference at 50% off of on-demand inference price. This is great to run multiple inference requests asynchronously and improve the performance of model inference on large datasets. It's generally available in all supported AWS regions for supported models. Completion time of batch inference depends on various factors like the size of the job, but you can spec completion time frame of a typical job within 24 hours. Knowledge bases for Amazon Bedrock supports Anthropic Claude 3.5 Sonnet. Amazon Personalize enhances automatic solution training. Amazon SageMaker Projects now allows you to reuse names of previously deleted projects. Amazon SageMaker Data Wrangler and Amazon SageMaker Canvas now supports importing data flows from Amazon SageMaker Studio Classic, as well as faster and more flexible data preparation for machine learning. We're also excited to announce the general availability of two female-sounding Amazon Polly voices for two new locales, Czechia and Switzerland. Amazon Q Business launches IAM Federation for user identity authentication. And last, Amazon Q now provides more details about user subscriptions and associated resources.
Let's talk compute, and we're happy to announce the new AWS Parallel Computing Service, or AWS PCS, which is a new managed service that lets you run and scale high-performance computing workloads on AWS. The service enables you to build scientific and engineering models and run simulations using your preferred HPC job scheduler. We're starting with Slurm, super popular. And AWS PCS allows you to build complete HPC clusters that integrates compute, storage, network, and visualization resources and seamlessly scale from zero to thousands of instances. The service offers a fully managed Slurm scheduler with built-in technical support and a rich set of customization options, which means you can tailor your HPC environment to your specific needs and integrate it with your preferred software stack. Now, with AWS PCS, you get the advantages of the scalability and flexibility of AWS for your HPC workloads while maintaining compatibility with existing applications and job scripts. It simplifies Cluster Manager by giving you a unified set of APIs, of course, the console, the SDK, and CLI tools for provisioning, and it means you can reduce your operational overhead, which means you get to spend more time on doing science. And I was actually speaking about this service just yesterday with a customer who was so excited. It was out, like, this is exactly what we need. We don't have enough capacity in our existing infrastructure, and we need more, and this means we can get access to it, which is cool. Amazon EC2 status checks now support reachability health of attached EBS volumes. So this new check lets you quickly detect any attachment issues or volume impairments that may impact the performance of your applications. AWS Lambda has announced support for encryption of filter criteria for event source mappings. So it now supports using KMS customer managed keys for filter criteria with event source mapping, so you can protect your environment even more. AWS Lambda now supports function-level configuration for recursive loop detection. Now, we've had this before at an account level, but now you can do it on a function level because sometimes you need it, sometimes you don't, so you get some choice. And the Research and Engineering Studio on AWS version 24.08 is now available. This includes new features like S3 bucket mount points for Linux, creation of custom user roles and permission profiles, and offers the ability to adjust the list of Amazon EC2 instances available to launch as virtual desktops.
Two quick updates on customer engagement. Amazon Connect provides new ways to configure callbacks, and Amazon Connect Contact Lens now provides an audit trail for changes to an agent performance evaluation.
Let's talk databases. Amazon DocumentDB with MongoDB compatibility has introduced a couple of new things, and this is specifically in relation to the global cluster capability. So firstly, there is now something called failover, which is a fully managed experience for performing a cross-region failover to respond to unplanned events like a regional outage. And there is also switchover, and switchover lets you seamlessly change your global cluster's primary AWS region to another one. So the one that serves writes can now move to another location. Now, an Amazon DocumentDB global cluster is a single cluster that can span up to six AWS regions, which means you can enable disaster recovery from region-wide outages and provide low latency global reads. Amazon RDS for MySQL has now got extended support miner version 5.744. And Amazon RDS for PostgreSQL has also announced extended support for miner 11.22. So this gives you more time, up to 3 years, to upgrade your versions. Don't let yourself get behind. You do need to stay up to date, but sometimes you need a little more time. This lets you do that. Quick update for the topic of developer tools. The Amazon Location Service has announced the Migration SDK. Now, this allows users to easily and quickly migrate their existing application from the Google Maps platform to the Amazon Location Service. The Migration SDK provides an option for your application built using the Google Maps SDK for JavaScript to use the Amazon Location Service without needing to rewrite any of the application or business logic if Amazon Location supports the capabilities that you used. So this is really easy to check out their list of supported APIs, and it may make life even easier for you if you need to migrate.
One quick update on end-user computing. AWS announces support for Microsoft Entra AD and Microsoft Intune on Amazon Workspaces Personal. And now we've got two updates on front-end, web, and mobile. AWS Amplify now offers two new features for its functions capability: scheduled cron jobs and streaming logs. Cron jobs allow developers to configure serverless functions to run at specific intervals, while streaming logs enable developers to quickly iterate and test function execution by streaming logs directly to their terminal. AWS Amplify is launching multiple bucket support for storage, JavaScript only. You can now configure more than one storage bucket in your Amplify backend configuration. Amplify storage integrates with Amazon S3 and provides an intuitive approach to managing cloud-based file storage. With this new feature, you can upload and download files from and to multiple storage buckets, providing greater flexibility and control over your storage resources. And one quick update on the Internet of Things: AWS IoT Sitewise models now support versioning.
Let's talk management and governance. Organizational units in AWS Control Tower can now contain up to 1,000 accounts. That's a lot. In fact, in the past, you could only register OUs with 300 accounts or less. Now you can enroll up to 1,000 accounts in a single OU. AWS App Config now provides deletion protection for additional guardrails, so just make sure that you don't do the wrong thing. CloudFormation has simplified resource discovery and template review in the IAC generator. That's the infrastructure as code generator. Now, after the IAC generator finishes scanning the resources in an account, it presents a graphical summary of the different resource types to help you more quickly find the resources you want to include in your template. Then you can also preview the template in AWS Application Composer, which lets you visualize the whole thing. AWS Systems Manager for SAP Console Integration for Application Aware Stop and Start SAP is now available, so you can stop and start and know what's going on. And we're also happy to announce the streamlined federated and SSO signing process for the AWS Console mobile app. And a quick update in the area of media services. AWS Deadline Cloud now supports Windows Server 2022 in service managed fleets. So if you need that for your rendering, you can now build pipelines for 3D graphics and visual effects using digital content creation software that requires Windows. So these are things like Adobe After Effects and KeyShot, without having to set up or configure any of that worker infrastructure yourself.
Now, networking and content delivery. AWS announces Amazon-provided contiguous IPv4 blocks. AWS Network Firewall now supports GeoIP filtering on ingress and egress Amazon VPC traffic. AWS Identity and Access Management now supports AWS Private Link in all commercial regions. And one update on quantum technologies. Amazon Braket adds support for Rigetti's 84-qubit Ankaa-2 system, our largest gate-based superconducting device. I have no idea what that is, but that sounds awesome.
It's one of those newer areas that, yeah, you either know or you don't, and you can't pretend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Quantum folks are very clever. The nice thing is it's pay as you go, pay for what you use, and it's quite a big system, so it gives lots of capability. I think what is 4-fold qubit connectivity, so that sounds good. Let's get some of that. Let's talk about the topic of security, identity, and compliance. AWS WAF has enhanced rate-based rules to support lower rate limits. So now you can configure rate-based rules with rate limits as low as 10 requests per evaluation window compared to the previous minimum of 100 requests. So this allows you to count incoming requests and limit traffic that exceeds a defined request rate, and this allows you to be even more granular in what you do. AWS Cloud HSM has launched the new HSM 2M medium instance type. So this gives you new features, increased performance and flexibility. So you get more key capacity, higher elliptic curve performance compared to the previous generation, and you can restore your backups from the previous generation into the newer generation as well. And the AWS Security Hub has launched 8 new security controls. So with this release, Security Hub now supports controls for additional services like workspaces and AWS Data Sync. And it also has some new controls against previously supported services like CodeBuild and Athena. Now let's talk about storage, and I'm going to preempt and say this is my favorite update of the week. Amazon S3 now supports conditional writes. So Amazon S3 has added support for conditional writes that can check for the existence of an object before creating it. This capability can help you more easily prevent applications from overriding any existing objects when uploading data. You can perform conditional writes using put object or complete multi-part upload API requests in both general purpose and directory buckets. Now, using conditional writes, you can simplify how distributed applications with multiple clients can currently update data in parallel across shared data sets. No easy feat. Each client can conditionally write objects, making sure it does not overwrite any objects already written by another client. This means you no longer have to build any client-side consensus mechanisms to coordinate updates or use additional API requests to check for the presence of an object before uploading data. Instead, you can reliably offload such validations to S3, enabling better performance and efficiency for large-scale analytics, distributed machine learning, and other highly parallel workloads. To use conditional write, you can add the HTTP if none match condition header along with your put object and complete multi-part upload requests. This is such a complicated thing to make work. I cannot even begin to imagine how they got this to happen. But it does, again, get rid of a lot of undifferentiated heavy lifting that comes into figuring out who can write to what. And the best part is this feature is available at no additional charge in all AWS regions, including the AWS GovCloud US regions and the AWS China regions. So I'm impressed. And Amazon S3 has also then made my life easier by adding additional context to HTTP 403 access denied error messages. Now, this is really cool. Now, this applies for requests made to resources within the same AWS account. Now, this new context includes the type of policy that denied access, the reason for denial, and the information on the AWS IAM user or role that requested the access to the resource. Now, I'm so happy about this because I'm forever getting my IAM policies wrong because I'm not that great. I'm no Becky Weiss when it comes to writing IAM policies. And obviously, as an error condition, you don't want to give away information. So from a publicly facing access to an S3 bucket, you're not going to provide a whole lot of information. Well, here's why you got denied. But if you're doing it from within your own account and it's yours, you want to know. And this now tells you. And I'm so excited about that. It also puts it into the AWS CloudTrail logs as well. So that's in the back of my head for the next time I make the mistake. AWS Backup has a few interesting updates. Firstly, it has extended support for cross-region backup with Amazon Neptune and also cross-account copy for and cross-region backup as well for SAP HANA on Amazon EC2. So some really cool updates this week. I know I've been geeking out on the S3 one. What about you, Jillian? What's appealed to you this week?
I think we're in the same theme of really liking updates that are applied to a lot of customers. And so I'm going to pick the Amplify update of now being able to offer functions, scheduled cron jobs, and streaming logs. I know those are just basic fundamental things that if you're doing serverless, event-driven applications, you want to be able to use those types of capabilities. So I'm really excited for people that are using Amplify.
It's all about quality of life, isn't it?
Yep.
Jillian, how do folks reach out to you?
Miss Jill Ford on X.
Fantastic. And if you want to reach out to us as well, you can use the old school way. AWSpodcast@amazon.com is also the place to do it. And until next time, keep on building.